Morning. Today's daf is Lamed Aleph in Becharos. God willing, we'll finish the fourth parak of Becharos today, start the fifth parak of Becharos today. All right. We are finishing up the fourth parak. Fourth parak started off with various halachas about Bechor, and then segued into some more global topics. Danas Adim Zika Tzachayev, Mishnah Chalches Amid Beis talks about judging and making a mistaken judgment, an error in judgment, brought us to the topic of Grama. The Mishnah continues to talk about collecting money in order to see the Bechor, and then they use it as an opportunity to talk about collecting money to do other things as well, to be done in Torah, to do mitzvos, okay? And then the Mishnah went on to digress. Yesterday's daf was really an entire daf dedicated to speaking about people who are chashed, people who are suspected of either placing a blemish on an animal, on a bechor, suspected about selling perishvias, suspected to sell truma and pass it off as chulin. And okay, so we talked about various people who were suspected. It brought us to the topic which we're continuing with from yesterday, which is basically taking on the status of a chaver. Okay, I mentioned this yesterday, but just quickly to reiterate, so we're firmly planted for today's daf. So it's a simple way to view the world, but basically you have chaverim and you have amei ha'aretz. A chaver is somebody who is dedicated to being careful about his performance of Torah mitzvos, his dikduke ha-mitzvos, and an amei ha'aretz is simply not that particularly careful and not that particularly knowledgeable. And the big difference between the two, they're both Jews, they both have full status of being Jews, but the big difference is that if you buy produce from an amei ha'aretz, so that's now called demai. And now you have to separate yourself, trumas ha'maaser. You're not sure if he took it off. The Gemara in a number of places says that most of them do. Rov amei ha'aretz are ma'asrin, they do take off trumas ha'maaser, but the Chachamim said, you know what, you're not sure. You know what, be cautious. And therefore the Chachamim imposed a chumra. The Gemara says a couple places that this is a chumra. But it's a takana de rabbanan that you have to take off. You have to take off meiser again, even though the chances are that he did. Okay, and so that's it's masechta. We don't learn in the daf yomi because it's in Zrayim, but that's the world of demai. What we've been discussing yesterday, we're going to continue today, is there's a whole series of toseftas which we're going one after another that talks about is there an opportunity to upgrade yourself. Meaning move from being an amaretz to being a chaver. Okay? It's really a status change. And the Gemara yesterday had a similar discussion about converting. Right? It's not the same. You understand? It's not exactly the same. Converting, you're going from a status of being a non-Jew to a Jew. Right? If you're going to become a chaver, you were a Jew, you're still a Jew, you're just moving up a notch in terms of, you know, how you're regarded, how you're accepted. But still, though, in other words, the Tosefta still talks about the two side by side because it's basically the same idea. You are upgrading in status. So, thank you very much. So the Gemara, we'll start again in the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. So remember, we are on Lamed Amud Beis. I don't know which one of these Toseftas we were in. Okay, oh, we talked about Kanafayim. Yeah, yesterday we talked about the wings. Ad kama mikablam oso. Okay. Good. So we are we're right in the middle of the Amud. The lines are wide, about 10 lines down after that. First word in the line is kiba l'chnafayim af l'taharos lo kiba. We talked yesterday about accepting upon himself to wash his hands, but not necessarily the other things of tum and tahara. Okay. Tana rabbanan. Ad kama mikablam. In other words, he wants to now become a chaver. He wants to be trusted with keeping everything tahor. Everything he handles is going to be tahor. So he needs, it's like a trial basis. It's like a period in which basically, let's see how it can handle this. So when it comes to mashkim, 30 days, meaning liquids, right, coming into contact with any liquid so that the liquid does not become tameh, Tumas Mashkin is only midirabanan, that when you touch a liquid, the liquid now jumps up to a Rishon Latoma. So for that, you only need 30 days. But if it's for clothing, meaning that when he touches a garment, right, bigdei am haaretz, medras leprushim, right, Gemara and Chagiga. So if it comes to clothing, so in that you need 12 months. I'm sorry, 12 chodesh. Beisel omrim echadze veechadze, 12 chodesh. So, and Beis Hillel says you need 12 months for both. Now, think about it. Beis Hillel is being machmir. Beis Hillel says that you need to see him behave in the chaver manner for 12 months for both mashke and for clothing. That's a chumrah. That's fine, but that's not how we normally typify the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is a meiko, Beis Shammai is a machmir. And it's a general rule. There are exceptions to that rule, but all those exceptions are noted. Where are they noted? In Masechta Adios. So this isn't one of them. So the Gemara is bothered exactly by this question. Nimkin havelei mikula b'shama mechomer beis Hillel. So if that's true, so now this would represent one of the chumras of beis Hillel, and it's not recorded in Masechta Adios, says Rashi. So ela ubeis Hillel omer mechazev echazel shloshim. Okay. So based on this question, such a strong question, so you know what? We're actually going to change our Mishnah as we have it, or Tosefta. And that what Beis Hillel is saying is echazev echazeh, but don't conclude 12 months, but rather conclude 30 days. Okay, so that represents a kula, and that's what we need to see, because that's typically how Beis Hillel works. So if somebody accepts upon himself, I'm going to be a chaver, you need to see him behave that way for the next 30 days, a trial period of just 30 days. Six weeks? Where do we say 6 weeks? We do say, I'll tell you what, for all those changes in Shemona Esrei, Sein Talamatar, Meshav Ruchem Radegeshem, we say 30 days. We say 30 days is generally an established pattern of behavior. So, right, so the Gemara here happens to be consistent, meaning the revised position of Beis Hillel is in fact consistent with what we know. The 30 days is in fact changed behavior status. It's, yeah.
And you wouldn't just say that he'd be makel on the medrash, but not on Elijah, be more careful.
Right, but
it sounds to me like it should be,
I understand, but the fact that we're choshesh, meaning we're not really saying they are actually medrash, but we're worried that they're medrash. So it's really more of a chshash than it is a, you know, we're not making definitive statements. Every Amma Aretz is a, you know, is too much medrash. Okay, here are your simonim. Okay, your mnemonics to help you memorize the next bit of Gemara. Chaver tamid tcheles meches chazer gabai beatzmo. Okay, over the course of the day, just keep repeating the mnemonic, and then that'll set you up for memorizing the upcoming Gemara. Now, slightly joking, but only slightly, because that's what they used to do in the good old days. Meaning, all this was Torah Shebaal Peh, was committed to memory. I know, in the yeshivas. Tan rabbanan hachal kabel divrei chaveros. I'm sorry, habal kabel divrei chaveros. Sarach lekabel bifnei shlosha. Okay, so halacha number one. Okay, you want to go through this upgrade. You want to now become a chaver. So, okay, we just talked about how long you have to be on trial for, the trial period. Now we want to talk about just what's the process. What do you do to become a chaver? So it has to be in front of a panel of three. It's like a Beis Din. It's almost like you're standing in front of Beis Din. That's why I said the comparison between this and Geirus is not, it's not that far-fetched. Meaning with Geirus also, you're standing in front of a Beis Din. So here, again, he's already a Jew, but he's getting a change in status. So you stand in front of a Beis Din, bifnei shlosha chavim. But here it's interesting. Here, you could take your family along with you. Meaning not physically, but status-wise. Meaning once you upgrade in status, so your family gets an upgrade as well. That's not going to work by Geirus. Right, you don't convert on behalf of your whole family. That's okay. So obviously there are going to be differences, but the basic idea is that your family is going to come along for the ride. You're now going to be upgraded to a chaver. Your wife is given the status of Eishes chaver.
You're talking about children who live with
a
father.
I assume so. It's more right. It's more logical to say that. So in Srichan Lakaba Bifne Shlosha Khavim Rabsham and Gamlo Amir Afban Avne Beso Srichan Lakaba Bifne Shlosha Khaverim Lafishino Dama Khavishakibal Laben Khavishakibal. So and Rabsham and Gamlo disagrees about this point, right? Perhaps for him it really is more comparable to Geirus. And so just like by Geirus, everybody needs to go and be Megayer on their own in front of a Beis Din. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says same thing over here. Everybody needs to go in front of Beis Din. Your wife, your kids, everybody needs to go and accept this new status of being a chaver. Tan Rabban Habal Kabbal Divrei Chaver Tzarach L'Kabbal Bifnei Gimel Chaverim. Ve'afilu Tamid Chacham Tzarach L'Kabbal Bifnei Shlosha Chaverim. Wow, interesting. Even if you're already a Tamid Chacham, so you're knowledgeable, but basically what we're going to do is we're going to separate knowledge and practice. And it's not that hard, meaning you see plenty of people who are knowledgeable who don't practice. So even if you're a Talmid Chacham and you want to gain the status of being a Chaver, so what you need to do is you need to stand there in front of three and you need to state in front of those three, I am now going to move on to a Chaver. So Zakim Yoshev Yeshiva, Nesarach L'Kabba Bifnei Shlosha. Chaverim Shekvar Kibah Alav Mishashi Yashav. However, Zakin v'Yoshev, once he's an elder and sitting in the base medrash, at that point in time already, he has a presumed status of being a chaver. Abashal Omer, Aftam Echacham, Inazarach L'Kabba Bifnei Shlosha Chaverim. Abashal disagrees with this, and he says, no, it's not necessary. V'lo Or El Shacher Mekabim L'Fanav. And Abashal says, not only do you not need to go in front of Beis Din to declare your status of being a chaver, but you can accept others in front of you to accept the status of being a chaver. I'm Rav Yochanan Bimei Benosha Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignos Nishnes Mishnah Zoom. During the period of the son of Rabbi Chanina Ben Antignos, the following Mishnah was taught. Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi Istapik Lehu Milsa B'Taharos. Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi had some sort of question regarding Taharos. Meaning they didn't know a halachic matter. So Shadru Rabban Lagabe Benosha Rav Yochanan Ben Antignos. So the question was sent to the son of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, Azilo Amrulei La'ayin Ba. So he needed to investigate the matter. So in other words, he needed to excuse himself for a little bit to look into it, right? Check his notes. Ashkechei dekata'in taharos. Now he saw that he was carrying taharos. He was carrying food, kalim, whatever the case is, that were presumed to be tahor. Osiv Rabbanan Mididei Lagabaihu V'kaiihu Li'iyunei Ba. So what he did is that he first set up some sort of guards to watch the Taharos as he was investigating. Now keep in mind, who was he guarding the Taharos from? He was guarding the Taharos from Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, great Tanayim. And he was guarding, protecting the Taharos so that these Tanaim would not touch the Taharos. Also, Amr Leila Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi. Amr Lehu Rav Yehuda, Aviv Shalzeh, Biza Tamid HaChachamim. I don't understand. They are being mevazeh. They're degrading Tamid HaChachamim. Avu mevazeh Tamid HaChachamim. In other words, I understand his father's mevazeh Tamid HaChachamim. He also. Amr Lehu Rav Yossi, Kvod Zaken Yumnach Memkomo. So he says, Rav Yossi defends, and Rav Yossi says, no, don't say that. From the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you should just know that Kohanim would not trust their Taharos with anybody. It's not a bizayon. It's not, he's not looking to degrade Talmid HaChachamim, but rather, it's simply a chumrah amongst the Kohanim that they would not let their Taharos be handled by anyone. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Chaver Shemes, okay? So far today, we talked about how long a trial period you need in order to gain the status of being a chaver. We talked about the actual process that you need to do it in front of three. And now, we'll talk about being attached to a chaver. So the first example we're going to give is Eishes Chaver, the wife of a chaver. So Tanu Rabbanan Chaver Shemes, Yishu Vanov V'nei Veso.
I had a question before. The three, they must be chaver, chaverim, right? The three, it must be.
Well, that was the assumption going in.
The judge coming in front of the three judges.
The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi.
No, I'm talking about the generalists.
The judges that you accept.
They have to be themselves. No?
It makes sense. I'm not sure. Yeah, I know, but it makes sense that they need to be chaverim. Okay. Chaver shemeis ishu vanav v'neveso harehin bechez kasam ashiyachashtem. So you have a wife married to a chaver. And his kids, and the chaver dies. Okay. They still enjoy the status of being Eshes Chaver and Bnei Chaver, right? And their status will not change until you see something substantial, substantive, that they in fact have changed their behavior. Otherwise, they enjoy the status of Chaver. So you can buy produce from them, and anything they touch is Tahor, and all the good status that was given, that was accorded to the now the deceased husband slash father, is still going to be afforded to them. Well, they are assumed, they're presumed, because they were married to him or, you know, children of him, that they're presumed that they're going to still follow in the footsteps of the father. Also, you go to a courtyard, a particular courtyard, you know that when you buy tcheles from this courtyard, you're buying tcheles. Well, what else are you going to be buying? What's your alternative? So there was a counterfeit back in the good old days, when tcheles was super popular. Now it's not super popular, it's just a little bit popular because we're not 100% sure if they got it. Huh? But it was expensive, and they had a counterfeit tcheles running around in the time of the Gemara. It was called Kala Ilan. Kala Ilan was almost an identical blue to that of tcheles, but it wasn't tcheles because it didn't come from the proper source. It has to come from the Chila zone. And they were able to manufacture. Right, you think you thought we knock off things, you know, in the past 20, 30 years. This is just an old story. So they knocked off tcheles, and they were selling it as Kala Ilan. So when you went and you bought it, now the Gemara Menachos, remember, there are ways of determining and telling the fake from the real. There were testing that was done. Okay, all well and good. But in other words, you want to know if you're buying the real thing or not. So again, it goes back to the story of Ne'manus, or credibility. So you have a particular chatzer. It's interesting. It's not contingent on a person. It's contingent on a particular chatzer, right? That you went to a certain courtyard, and you know that when you went into this courtyard, they were selling you the real thing. This chatzer enjoys that status, that presumed level of kashrus, so until you find out something else, okay? So again, it's a basic idea of chazaka. Tan Rabbanan Eishes Amar Chen Nisei Sechaver, v'chein Bito Shal Amar Chen Nisei Sechaver, v'chein Avdo Shal Amar Chen Nimka Lechaver. Kulan Strichen LeKabel Diver Chavers Betchila. Okay. A wife of an Amar, she moves on, right? Divorce, widow, and she marries a Chaver. Okay. Does that automatically give her a new change of status? No. Interesting, right? Because and now look. All this makes perfect sense because, look, it's a question of behavior, right? Most of our day is really robotic. I mean, I don't mean to make everyone walk away so depressed. But, right, in other words, you know, obviously our job in life is to set up good behavior patterns. But really, I mean, a lot of our, you know, even the simple act of brushing your teeth, you don't think about it. You do it because you did it in the morning before, you did it in the morning before. So you're really talking about changing behavior patterns. So here, this woman has been married to an Am Haaretz all these years. So for her, she's not careful about taharos. She's not careful about being mafresh shumas amaisos. That hasn't been her life. So she marries a chaver. So that doesn't automatically give her new status. She needs a formal declaration in front of a beis din, everything that we discussed up until now. Okay. So divrei chaver betchila aval eishes chaver shenisas Am Haaretz v'chein bito shel chaver shenisas Am Haaretz v'chein avdo shel chaver shenimka la Am Haaretz. But let's go the other way. She was married to a chaver, and then she went to an Am Haaretz. She was married, or the daughter of a chaver that married an Am Haaretz, or the eved of a chaver that sold to an Am Haaretz. So ain't tzrichim lekabel divrei chaveres b'tchila. So there, she doesn't have to. Then, I guess...
She's still good.
Right.
I think it's talking when she remarried.
Right. In other words, correct. In other words...
She went to one, then another one.
Right. Right. If she goes... Right. That's the way Rashi sets it up.
Right.
If she goes back to the Chaver, so she doesn't need now a new formal declaration. Rameir disagrees. Rameir says no. Meaning now that she was married, in other words, there was an interim marriage where she was married to an Am Haaretz, so she's going to get lax in her attention to Tumah Tahara and Trumas HaMaisro. So you know what? Rav Meir says when she goes back, marries a Chaver again, By the way, that'll be her third husband. I mean, okay. There are sugyas in the Gemara about. Oh, right. So, but anyway, so okay. So it's richem divrei chaver lechatchila. Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir Ma'isa Beisha Achas Shenisus Chaver V'Haisa Kamas Lo Tefillin Al Yado. Rabbi Meir says, I'm going to tell you a story that there was an Eishes Chaver, and she was married to someone who was careful about his performance of mitzvos, and every day she would wrap his tefillin on her husband. Okay, apparently he had some issues, some medical issues, whatever the case is. She wrapped his tefillin every day. Nisa Islama Aretz, and then what does she do? She marries an Ama Aretz, Haisa Kosher So Kishri Mochas Al Yado. And she helped him daily with his job. His job happened to have been a tax collector. Okay, I know we can joke all we want. In the time of the Gemara, the tax collector was an unscrupulous individual, usually collected more than just tax, meaning a little extra for himself, a little extra for his family. That was the Moches back then, the Gemara and Sanhedrin. And I just keep going back to the Gemara and Sanhedrin. It happens to be we're learning in the high school this year. Gemara and Sanhedrin says that if you're a moches, if you're a tax collector, you're a pasul le'edus, you can't testify. Because the presumption is that you steal. So she, in other words, so here you go. Here you have a woman who was married to a chaver. Okay, married to a chaver, so tefillin. And then she was married to a moches, and then an ama aretz slash moches, and then she helped him with his unscrupulous profession. So, in other words, you see that, you know, you're... Your surroundings obviously going to influence who you are. And so this is Rav Meir now saying, okay, so when she goes back now and marries the chaver, her third husband, she's going to need to not just come back to being a chaver or Aisha's chaver, but she needs to make a formal declaration. Hello, I'm back. It's not a...
How many people do you see there?
It's not a question of suspicion. It'll just... She'll lose her sensitivity.
Maybe just for money, but not for...
All right. I understand.
Right.
We just saw the... in Parshas Vayishlach. So, right when they go meet Esav... So Yaakov takes Dina and Yaakov puts her in a box, right? The Rashi brings down the Medrash because it's noteworthy that Dina's not mentioned in the confrontation with Esav. So Rashi says he puts her in the box. Why did he put her in the box? So Rashi says because he didn't want Dina marrying Esav, right? Depending on who you ask, but you know it's a judgment call. Did he do the right thing or did he not do the right thing? Okay, I know everyone's going to go different ways on this matter. But some are of the opinion that no, should have allowed Dina to marry Esav because she would have influenced Esav. And so it's interesting because Rav Meir here is clearly of the position that no, she's going to be influenced. So it really depends. I mean, it's a case-by-case scenario. You can't really make generic sweeping statements of who's...
Money is different than...
Okay. No. Yeah. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, we're at the very top of the Amud. Okay, anyone know where we are in the mnemonic? If you want to go back, we did Chaver, we did the Talmud, we did Tcheles, we did Meches. Okay, good, we're up to Chozer. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. V'kulos Chozer b'hemei mekal b'nos olamis. Divrei Rav Meir. Okay, first of all, what are we talking about now? Right, if they go back, if they retract, ain mekal b'nos, you don't accept them forever. What's going on over here? Take a look at Rashi, top Rashi on the Amud. Sefer Dehach Braisa de la Elhi. This is the end of the Tosefta that we saw above. Diktani, Rashi, I'm continuing reading in Rashi. Diktani, Habala Kabal Divre Chaveros, Chutz Midavar Echad, Vechain, Kohen Shekibal Alav Divre Kuhuna, Chutz Midavar Echad, Vechain, Balevi Shekibal Alav Divre Levi, Chutz Midavar Echad, Ein Mekablan Osam Shenemar, Hamakriv Ezdam Ashlamim. Okay? What did we see earlier? Remember yesterday's daf? The Ger comes forward and he says, I'll accept everything but one mitzvah. Right. Or the Ama Aretz comes forward and says, I'm going to be a chaver, I'm going to accept all the mitzvahs to gain status of being a chaver, except for one. Or the Kohen comes forward and he says, everything except for one. So what did we say yesterday's daf? No, it's no good. Meaning you got to be all in. If you want to gain status, you want to upgrade in status, you got to go all in. Okay? Now, that's our starting point of this discussion. And now, let's continue reading in Rashi. Okay, now, after being rejected, meaning, right, their application was denied because they wouldn't take one mitzvah. So now they come back and they resubmit their application and they say, I'm all in. I know yesterday I said, or a week ago I said, I'm not doing that mitzvah. I changed my mind. I'm now all in. So this is interesting because Rav Meir now says, Ein mekablan asem olamis. Once you submit an application, and once your application is rejected, you can never resubmit your application. Yeah, that's strong, right? Okay. I'll get to Tosfos in just a moment, but just let's absorb Rashi. That's really strong. Okay, right? Tshuva? Okay. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I'm going back to the Gemara. We'll just finish this off according to Rashi, but I think everyone's already sensitive to the fact that doesn't sound right that he can't resubmit his application. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chazru, b'matmonios, ein mekablan osam b'farhesia, mekablan osam. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, if he retracts, but only privately, matmon means a hidden item. Here it means he's being hidden. If he's going to retract, but privately, meaning, you know, under the table between me and you, I'll keep that mitzvah. I was just kidding. So that you can't take seriously. But if he makes a public declaration in front of three, no, I'm all in. So Rav Yehuda says, okay, go ahead and accept him again. Okay. So Rav Yehuda really speaks to us because Rav Yehuda speaks to the basic idea that originally he wasn't prepared to accept that mitzvah, but now he's a changed man. But what's difficult to understand is Rav Meir says you can't resubmit an application because at one time you said, I'm not doing that mitzvah. That's strange, it's difficult, it seems harsh. Take a look at the top Tosfos, where Tosfos is bothered by pretty much exactly this question. Tosfos, Perish Akonsha, Perakamada, Vodazar, Gazanim, Vame, Artskai, Shechazim, Yerushalim, Mutav, Zeu, Tema, Lama, Ein, Mekabal, Osam, Demashma, Dein, Tekan, Lassos, Am, Arts, Chavir, Shem, Mekabal, Lav, Divir, Chaveros. It sounds, the way Rashi, setting up the Gemara, it sounds like what you basically did is you're going to forever reject his opportunity to move from being an Am, Arts to being a Chavir. It's difficult. Oh, Delashan, Olam, is Mashma, Shekvar, Kibop, Hamacheres. And olamis means never again. Well, what does that mean, never again? Meaning, olamis makes it sound like we accepted him once, but not again. Like, in other words, the word olamis, according to Rashi, also doesn't really fit into this particular discussion. And also, the Rav Yehuda division of, well, there's a difference between private versus public. Well, I understand it's an application. What does that mean, private versus public? There's a private submission. There's a public submission. In other words, even that doesn't sound right according to Rashi. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no. Meaning, no, Rashi, I don't agree with my grandfather. This V'chulan Shechazru is not going on the application that was rejected. No. If the application was rejected and he wants to resubmit later to the basin and say, I'm all in, of course you can accept, he can resubmit his application. Ein mekablam osam olamis. Ah. So in other words, Rabbeinu Tam says, you know what this is going on? It's going on an earlier Tosefta of Demai, where he submitted an application, we accepted him, and then he showed us that he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the status of being a chaver, or the status of being a kohen. He tried it, and he failed. So now he has shown, demonstrated that he cannot, he can't, he just simply can't handle it. So Rav Yehuda Omer. So that's when Rav Meir says, remember, it's only Rav Meir, but at least we understand Rav Meir a little bit better. That's when Rav Meir says, he tried it, he couldn't handle it. Okay, now Rav Meir says, okay, enough. In other words, let's not do this again. We know where it's going to go. And then, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you understand Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says there's a difference between private and public. We're not talking about application. We're talking about his actual behavior, right? The Rav Yehuda Omer beMadmonis Klamos Shechazul Lesuram beMadmonis Vegalin Nizarnal Divrei Chaveres Emekam Lasam Shegonvim Das Abrios. In other words, if he's just privately going to behave a certain way, but publicly he's still back to his old ways. But in other words, if his failure, it's interesting, if his failure was an absolute failure, meaning he totally stumbled, not only privately, but publicly as well, and now he wants to try it again, we're open to it. But if he fails privately, but not publicly, in other words, publicly, he still has an outward show of being, you know, for lack of a better term, frum. And then, but privately, he can't. So at that point, Rav Yehuda says, I'm not interested in dealing with this guy anymore. Meaning, I can't trust him anymore. Okay. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam sets it up. It's a little bit easier to handle than Rashi, because from Rashi's standpoint, Rav Meir has it that you're simply not going to accept his application anymore, which is difficult. Back to the Gemara. If they accept upon themselves privately, no, but publicly, yes. So I understand. Under all circumstances, you can be mekabel mishum shenemer shuvah banim shovavim because of this idea of tshuva. That's the halacha. The halacha is that if you have somebody who wants to come back and once again try out the status of being a chaver, you can allow him to come back. We have the entire concept of tshuva. Tana Rabbanan B'Rishon, Hayu Omrim, Chaver V'Nase Gabay, Dochen Oso, Mechaver Oso. Pirish, Emekam Oso, Emekam Oso. Okay? More Tosefsis that speak to this idea. He was a chaver. Okay? And then he changes professions. He then becomes a gabbai. Gabbai over here, gabbai usually has a good connotation, right? Okay, I'm officially the gabbai Shani. Okay, it's the best job in the world, right? I get faulted for nothing, so I also get credited for nothing, but that's fine. that's also fine. But gabbai in the time of the Gemara, same thing like moches, tax collector. Somebody comes around and collects and, you know, takes a little bit extra. Okay? Not good. Right? It's pejorative. So, chaver v'nasa gabay dochen oso mechaver oso.
He's also a tax collector.
Yeah, basically. So at that point in time, in other words, with a new occupation, comes now the loss of status. Okay, so we say to him, okay, you're now a gabay. You're no longer in the status of chaver. Piresh. Ain mekablen oso. Now, the first position taken is like this, that if he stops being a gabbai, we don't accept him back. Okay? No, not unless. That's it. Done. Ain mekablen oso. Chazul omar. And then they thought about this more and they said, no, tshuva. Chazul omar. Pirei sharei kechol adam. That if he stops being a gabbai, so then we say, okay, fine, you're back. Rav Huna bar Chiya itzrich leishaitam. Gamar follows it up with the story of Huna Bar Chiya. He was going through bad times. Okay, financially, financially desperate.
Is that the same rabbi that had the moths?
I don't remember. I don't remember. So Hava Ayo Gabe Rabba Rav Yosef Arbe Meazuga de Rabbanan. So and along comes Rabba and Rav Yosef and 400 pairs of Chachamim. Okay, big. Entourage of Talmid Chachamim. Shama da'asu katu lehu arba me'o tachtike. So he hears that he's coming and he sets up 400 chairs. Okay? Meaning he's going to accept all this, the Bnei HaYeshiva, L'Sof Shamu, Denasa Gabai. Is that what the is that what he does over there? He's Shita Mekubetz is just worried about the correct way to say chairs. He doesn't change the. Okay, I'm with you. So the Sof Shamu Danasa Gabai. However, they heard that Rav Huna took on a new profession, and they heard that he's now a Gabai. Shachulei zil lechashivasei zil lekadmusei. So they sent him a letter of Musar. And they said to him, remember you were a Talmud Chacham, you were a Chaver. Zil lechashivusei, go back to what is important. Zil lekadmusei, go back to what you were once originally. Meaning, stopping a gabai. Shachlu hadribi. So, he took the Musar, and he sent them back a letter, and he says, I'm back. Okay.
They wrote short letters back then.
Yeah. Or the Gemara is just giving us the... the summary statement of the letter. So how'd you be? Rav Yosef lo azol, Rabba azol. So now Rav Yosef and Rava have a debate whether or not we can accept him back. So Rav Yosef did not go. Rav Yosef did not accept him, and Rabba did. Rav Yosef amar tani pirshim mekabel lasol. So Rav Yosef, what is he going to quote? He's going to quote the first position of the Braisa. Where the Braisa says that you now change professions, you become a gabbai, you're done. No more. We don't take you back. And Rabba Amar Tanina Chazul Omar Pir Sharein Kochol Adam. And Rabba says, yeah, but Chazul Omar. But then the Braisa took a second position. Second position of, no, you accept people back. Tshuva. Right, Chazul Omar. Right, it says, it's like a double entendre. Chazul Omar, meaning, literally it means they retracted and they said, but chazru meaning chozer, meaning there's a chance for tshuva. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay. Is that it? I think that's it. I mean, that's not it, I'm saying, but I think that's it in terms of the simanim.
No, one more.
Okay. Yeah, ba'atzmo. Yeah. You're right. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Kol b'choras adam rochutz mishel atzmo. Okay, you want to see other people's bechor, determine whether it's a blemished mum or not. So good. But whose can you not see? You can't see your own blemish. Okay, you can quote me on this for today, but people have a difficult time seeing their own blemishes. I understand. I just thought I was going to say something deep and profound, but... But it's true. It's true. Not meaning, even on your own animal, it's hard. It's hard to see. Kol habecharos adam roa chutz mishel atzmo veroes kadasha ve'es ma'asrosav, and you could see other people's kadashim, right? The meiser, the meiser behema v'nishal tarosav, and you can be asked about your taharosav. Okay, we're going to go over each one of these statements. Individually, Amar Mar Kol Bechoros Adam Roach Chutz Mishal Atzma B'Mayis Kinan. Now the Gemara says, now wait a second. Let's think about this for just a moment. Okay, we haven't really discussed this yet, and it's coming up later in the Masechta. But in order to be qualified to check out a person's Bechor, so first of all, we already talked about the idea that you have to have a knowledge base. You got to know. You got to know what you're looking at. But not only that, we'll talk about it later on in the Masechta. You have to be part of a Beis Din. Right, it's not one person looking; it's a Beis Din.
Couldn't it be expert to one.
Okay, you're ahead. So slow down there. Okay, you are already at the Gemara's answer. So v'mayaskin and ilem abechad mi mehemen. So first of all, it's not a one person panel does not look at a bechor to determine whether it's blemish or not blemish. It is three people. Ela betlasa. Now that's three people. As a member of Beis Din, this is interesting. We don't look at you as an individual. We look at you as a member of Beis Din. And so when you made a ruling, that's not you making a ruling. That's Beis Din making a ruling. Now, you happen to be a part of that Beis Din, but first of all, you're only one of three. There are two other people who weighed in on this issue. And so, yes, you get a vote, and yes, your vote is very significant, but it's not just you. You're one of three. And then... if you're part of a Beis Din, we're not suspicious. There is no cheshad when you're part of a Beis Din. That's none. In fact, we have a Mishnah in Yevamos that makes this point very clearly. Mi ana osha chatzav bifanav. Let's say a woman performed chalitza in front of your Beis Din, and you were part of that Beis Din. So, in other words, she was supposed to perform the mitzvah of Yibum with her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law said, no, thank you. He did chalitza to this. Chalitza needs to be done in front of a Beis Din. You were part of that Beis Din. After the proceedings are over, you can go over to her and say, you available? Now, one could say, wait a second. That's not right. Meaning, in other words, maybe that corrupted his thinking while doing the chalitza. And it's so clear from the Mishnah, we don't say that. Because he's not acting alone, he's acting as part of the Beis Din. So, okay, so you sign him and make sure you're Beis Din.
Huh? What if everyone in the
base did ask her? Right. She's only good. She can only marry one. Okay, anyway. So we make sure base. So in other words, in there you're not worried about Chashan, and there's a good reason to be worried about Chashan. We're not, because it's your part of Beis Din. Same story here. So the Gemara says, okay, yes, you need a Beis Din, but if you have one and he's a mumcha and he's certified, and so he can serve on his own. So how about this? Meaning, if you're acting as one, then you cannot look at your own bechor. Right, now I understand. Because now it's not a Beis Din, it's not made up of three. Here now there's a serious chashad that your ruling was skewed by the fact that if you rule in favor that it is a mom, now you're going to be able to enjoy the animal. You know what? Don't look at your own. V'roe es kadashav. However, if you have hektesh that you need to, that you'd like to redeem, but you can only redeem it once it develops a blemish, so you can look at your own hektesh. The Gemara says, whoa, what's the difference? Meaning, we just said you can't look at your own bechor, but if you have some hektesh that you need to look at in order to determine that it has blemish so that you can redeem it, so that's okay. What's the difference? The Gemara says, V'roz kadashav, di'ibaye mitchal alayhu. Because when it comes to your own hektesh, you know, if you really don't want it to be hektesh, you know there's another path you can go down in order so that it does not become hektesh, and that is she'elah. You can go and try to annul your vow from the very beginning. When you imbue an animal with kedusha, it's essentially a neder. You're transforming the animal from chulin to hektesh. That's a neder. By all nedarim, you can have she'elas chacham. You can go to a Talmud Chacham and say, look, had I known X, Y, and Z, I never would have made the neder. And that would retroactively annul the vow. So if you are really interested in removing the kedusha status from this animal, you can ask She'elas Chacham. Uma Asrosav, if you have Meiser, the Meiser over here meaning Meiser Behema, right, where you're going to look at the animal and determine whether it's a blemish, that you can do. Why? Because what you could do is you could put a blemish in your eder, in your flock to begin with. And so in other words, this is your own. Because if you wanted, you could have put the blemish in prior to your counting of those animals. When those animals come out of the fence, you do not make any distinction between one that's blemished versus one that's not blemished. So it could have very well had the blemish before, and you could have even put the blemish on beforehand, so we're not worried about the chashad.
We could have blemished all of them.
Right, and you could put a mom on all of them, correct?
No,
correct. V'nishal al taharosav. And finally, You can ask a she'ila on your taharos, the hachazilei bimei tumaso, because look, meaning when you're tummy, you can eat tummy food, so it's not like you are like living and dying by this psak. All this is in contradistinction to the bechor, because what's the story by the bechor? I mean, not living and dying, but you need this psak. You so desperately need this psak because by bechor, there's nothing else you can do. You can't redeem it. You can't. There's no base on mikdash. You can't offer it. You need it to have a blemish. So right now, the pressure on you to determine that it is in fact a blemish is too great. And so therefore, it's going to skew your judgment. And all these other cases, by Kadashim, by Meister Behema, by Taharos, there are other ways to enjoy it. So there's not that chshad, there's not that concern that, oh my gosh, I need to paskin this particular way, otherwise, no good. There's a great discussion. Tosfos not here. The great discussion, can a person look at his wife's own maras, meaning... Right? Is she an Ida? Is she not an Ida? So, right, can there, again, it's basically this question of, you know, what kind of pressure is exerted and so that he will be skewed in judgment. And that is the end of the fourth parak of Becharos. Let's start. She can, right, that's another issue. Can she look at her own maras? Right, and remember, Tosfos and Nida talks about the husband looking at it. If I remember correctly, Rav Nachman, I believe,
Yalta.
Right in Yalta, right? He went to somebody else. Oh, very good. Kopsulei amukdashim nimkarim be'itlas. Okay, skipping the parentheses. Kopsulei amukdashim, any carbon that has a blemish, and now what do you do with it? One thing and one thing only, you eat it. Okay? You could sell it, and nimkarim be'itlas, it could be sold in the market. That would be fine. Now, what's the issue over here? The issue over here is psula hamukdashin. It has residual kedusha. It is a carbon. It was a carbon. It now has a blemish in it. Yes, you're going to redeem it, but it still has residual kedusha. Remember the animal? You can't work it. You can't shear it. Okay, it's the only thing you can do is eat it. Debate, can you even give it to your dogs? That's up for debate. It still has residual kedusha. Selling in the market is degrading. Meaning this animal, which at one point in time was qualified to be brought as a karban, now you're going to so walk down Machane Yehuda, and like any other piece of meat, you see over here now this meat hanging, right, and being sold in the marketplace, so it's degrading. But the Mishnah says you could do it. So what's the license to do that? Meaning, why would that be allowed? And the answer is, yeah. What is the answer?
Well, people won't know. How would they know it's a certain? How would they know when you buy it?
Huh?
I mean, once it's in the butcher as meat, all you can do is eat it.
Okay, so
What are people going to say?
Just wait one second, because we're gonna answer that question. Oh, very good, very good. V'nishchatim be'idlas, and they can be shecht in the marketplace. V'nishkam be'litra, and it could be weighed using regular scales. Meaning, basically, we're going to treat it like a regular piece of meat. Chutz min ha'bechor v'ha'maiser she'ana yasan le'balim. However, when it comes to bechor and maiser, who is gaining? Who's profiting from the sale? The kohen, right? Or in the case of Meiser, the owner. They're profiting from the sale. So they're psula, I'm sorry. And so therefore, bechor meat, right? We're talking about where the kohen has it because it goes to the kohen. And now he'd like to sell the bechor meat. He's entitled to do that. It's his meat to sell, but that has to be sold privately. That cannot be sold in the open marketplace. Because there, the gain and profit is going to the Kohen, and so consequently, he cannot treat it with bizayon. Okay? For him to gain and profit from selling in the marketplace, that's inappropriate. Psula Mugdashin, Mani Yasam Lahektish, Veshok Lemana Keneged Mana Bebechor. So, Psula Mugdashin, where the Hana goes to Hektish, so you can measure Mana Keneged Mana. Okay, one measure against another measure. Okay. Kol Psula Mugdashin, Hasam Lahektish, Emas, Ilem Alacha Pijonam. Hanasan lehektish, hanasan debalamhu. So elulifnei pijonam. So the Gemara says we're talking about before it was redeemed. So Nishchatin, Habay Hamad Vaharacha. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. The Mishnah also says that it was Shechtin. Right? We had this discussion once in Bacharos. This is now the second time we're having this discussion in Bacharos. And the Gemara says, you, in order to redeem, you have to be standing. So Hanich Laman Damer Kachem is Bechla Hayu Bechla Hamad Varecha Elaman Damer Hayu Bechla Hamad Varecha Michael Amemar. Now, do you remember? Okay, we did this about a week ago, where it was a three-way machlokus in terms of what needs to stand in order to be redeemed. So there is one opinion that says that karbanos do not need to stand when being redeemed, meaning if they could redeem them even after the animal has died. Okay, but Ella, but there's a number of Tanaim who say that karbanos need to stand in order to be redeemed. So the Gemara says, well, it's since originally the benefit's going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, so tfei uparik meikara. Since you know it's going to be sold in the marketplace, so therefore, the Beis HaMikdash can fetch a better price for this animal. The animal's still alive, but they'll fetch a better price for it because the buyer knows that he can now resell it in the open market. So that's basically what's behind the Mishnah. The idea behind the Mishnah is that, generally speaking, Psulei HaMikdashim, since gain, profit, goes to the Beis HaMikdash, so even though it is degrading for the animal to be sold in the open marketplace, but still, it's balanced by the fact that the money's going to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's a good cause. So therefore, I'm not sure if this is the Chachamim allowing it, the Torah allowing it. I'm not sure how to say it correctly.
It sounds like that, and that there's risk of that during the Shechita, it may become a non-kosher animal, and then there is
you take that risk, and then correct, you're going to take that risk, but still. In other words, but because you're now selling on the open market, so it's going to fetch more money for the Beis HaMikdash. Correct, but that's exactly the point, though. In other words, they can basically auction it off and fetch a better price.